Greetings, hello, and welcome everyone to the Beyond Earth Show. This is your host, Ray Trujillo, and thank you all of you for joining me today on this beautiful March 7th, 2026. And what a beautiful time it is, and exciting time to be alive. And I did want to just preface the show with a happy birthday, 20th birthday year to my beloved Princess Patina. So she's 96 in human years right now. So we're going through the fourth turning. We're going through dramatic, let's say episodic, let's say biblical times, timelines, and through movement and evolution, in which there's this acceleration, the let's say time speeding up, separate from as we naturally just grow in our own chronological time. But speaking of the ethers energetically and so forth, and if you've noticed that time is more accelerated, and that's part of the quickening and the rapidity of that energy in motion. And when the streamline of consciousness and the collective, and also in the personal retrospection, there's acceleration that's also synonymous with the awakening. So while we're in this fourth turning, we're in this cosmic collective evolution, we're in however one wants to name it for themselves or what's comfortable for them. But we cannot deny that we are in this rapid movement towards something even greater than we know, or those that are black-pilled. It's apocalyptic. It's the end. It's the end as we know it. Or so if you're white pill, blue pill, red pill, black pill, or non-pill, whatever it may be, this show may be for you, because I want to cover today a bit of the topics that we're experiencing. And of course, we're in a Mercury retrograde that began around February 25th, and we had a Virgo full lunar eclipse. And then we also had the Saturn Neptune conjunct. So it's been back to back to back. And I'll just refresh for those of you with Mercury retrograde, it's a time to redo, revisit, reassess, and definitely a time to be very cautious with signing paperwork or doing any new projects. But it's also, this is where I love to discuss, where it's time to again, which this happens 3 to 4 times a year, give or take, that it's retrospection time. Anything with re, retrospection, reigniting, revisiting, rememorizing, reattributing, recalibrating, all of the above. So it's a good time to look within, as any day is a good time to look within. But I felt today would be a good topic to delve into about revisiting your dreams from the past, revisiting perhaps your own episodes of your life and your own chronological timeline, separate from the world, separate from the energy, separate from the ethers. That's our external, but what's internal? So I'd love to discuss manifesting a little bit today. I'd love to discuss the power of the subconscious mind and in the synonymous aspect of manifestation. And so, especially during Mercury retrograde, it's a time of reflection. And wow, how come I didn't ever finish that goal, or I didn't even finish that book I meant to read 20 years ago, right? Or, and I'm using small examples, but I'm going to kind of go across the broadness of health, improving of health, even if the doctor tends to the wound, but God heals it, right? So there are aspects in which we all have what we desire, what we wish for, what we meant to take care of. And health is number one. Money is always on the topic, but if you don't have health, wealth means nothing, because all the money in the world can't fix an unhealthy body, right? And yeah, money can help with getting the right doctors and medicine and treatments. But if the mind isn't completely there in the right way, which of course is understandable because it's flooded with all of the doubt, all of the fear. So how can one properly clear the mind when they're in a physical and a biochemical state of confusion, influx of fear, right? So there's that aspect of health. And then also perhaps finances, money, manifesting money, praying for money, the laws of increase, the divine laws of magnetism and increase, right? Or getting that job that you really want, because that job that you really want is part of your bliss, part of your joy, and the money will follow, sustenance will follow. Or relationships, you're seeking a friendship or companionship, love, romantic, or all of the above, or a new tribe of people. And so we're just going to kind of stick intermittently with these, and I'll kind of be going back and forth and perhaps correlating them. But especially during Mercury retrograde and this brand new eclipse that we just had in Virgo, this is definitely a time to clear out again, to clear out the blockages. Clear out the blockages to make room for the new. And what is more benefic than clearing out a subconscious old belief? And so when we speak of the subconscious mind, many people are aware of what the subconscious mind entails. But truly, though, if we look at it, and I'll just start from scratch here just to give anyone like Cliff Note version, but we have three layers of the mind essentially. So the conscious mind is like the reasoning, the thinking, problem solving, executive decision making, planning the day, just simple, just speaking, writing. And it's perhaps only maybe a very minimum of our mental activity and could be about around the range of like 5 to 10% of that, of their conscious mind, right? So think about like a pilot of a plane, a captain of a ship, the driver of a car, right? But then our subconscious mind, and this is where it gets very, very, very deep. This is where the emotional storehouse resides. So it's essentially memories, triggers, the beliefs about yourself and the triggers from the beliefs about yourself that you literally maybe emblazoned within yourself, because when you were 5 years old or 7 or 10 or even yesterday, someone said something to you and you held on to that and it was a negative thing. And it might not even be true, but your subconscious believed it to be true, right? So you've been carrying that for so long. And I'm just using very minimal, very small examples just to give my point across there. So that creates the emotional patterns, right? And then the habits. And then we have our inherent learned behaviors. We have our learned behaviors and the inherent learned behaviors because of the response to that. So then we have, sometimes we have like those intuition moments where because we are in an anticipatory state that, wow, when I was 5 years old, Sally stole my lunchbox. And now, when you're 60, you're thinking that there's another Sally, but she's 60 again. She's the same age, and you're not 5 years old, but she might steal your grown-up lunchbox now because there's this kind of a marker, right? A response. And so the subconscious is essentially the majority of the mental activity. So it's literally all the systems running the ship, all the systems running the plane, and it's about 90, 95% of mental activity. And then we have our unconscious mind. And the unconscious mind, it's a little deeper. There's the primal, there's the epigenetic memories, suppressed memories. Also, when you have the biological mechanisms behind what drives you and nature versus nurture, what came first, a lot of it can be, if you want to look at it as epigenetic, or even an epigenetic defect or an ancestral quote unquote curse, right? We hear about that where, oh, Leonard was obsessed with hot air balloons, And then now you have the same obsession that your great grandfather Leonard had. And who's to explain that? And I'm just giving cute attributes, but there's also the negative attributes also, right? Proclivities towards self-sabotage, proclivities towards the death wish, et cetera, or positive. So I'm just using positive for right now. So in the same way in the unconscious mind, that can transcend down in the epigenetic DNA, in the soul print DNA, in the cosmic frequency of our lineage in those ways. And so when we are looking at all three layers of the mind, when we see the subconscious holds all of the emotional responses. So when you're looking for, let's say, conscious reconditioning that I discuss all the time, that's helping the subconscious mind to heal. And oftentimes, when I recommend to people, when they ask, and if one way you can help with that is to apply that daily, and there are so many books written about that, there's so many experts on the topic of conscious reconditioning and rewiring the neural pathways and building the neuroplasticity to help from a negative mind, negative fear-based separative ego mind, going into a state of more of a belief in the self positive. And those are the essential formulas to getting more of what you're desiring as far as when you're trying to pray for something, when you're trying to manifest for something. So the subconscious learns through repetition. So repetition is wisdom, and the subconscious essentially is like a recording device. It is recording every memory, every thought, every nuance, every scent, every taste, every feeling, good or bad, in that response system. So many times, in our early childhood, this is what childhood conditioning, good or bad or neutral, how it shapes us, and how our formative years can truly, truly be profoundly impactful upon our years thereafter. So, because children typically do live in, let's say, a theta mindset. We have theta, we have meta, and but when we're in a theta, it's a subconscious brainwave. So things are imprinting. So if we look at a baby kitten, right? We look at a baby puppy, we look at a baby duck, they will imprint on their mother or whoever is raising them. So if you adopt a baby kitten who was abandoned, or a baby puppy, or a little duck, or any animal, and when they first see, like, for instance, there's a there's you'll see stories about monkeys who are abandoned by their mother, and then they give them a stuffed animal, and the stuffed animal, they're imprinting on that stuffed animal. But when you, let's say about the kitten and puppy, let's stick with that. So the imprinting is so profound because it's like this emotional response to mother, or to the person who is the surrogate mother, surrogate father for that animal. And then all of that starts to help to regulate the nervous system. And then the animal goes into, homeostasis in that way of like a the parasympathetic nervous system starts to calm and feel like, okay, I'm with my mom, I'm with my dad, and with my family, I'm with my tribe, right? And I can calm, and I'm not being abandoned right now. But if that doesn't happen within a certain time frame, humans and animals, then a state of abandonment, a state of betrayal, a state of loneliness starts to imprint. So what happens is, like, if that imprint is not restored, or it's not tended to in lifetime or within a sufficient amount of time thereafter, then there's an inherent learned behavior of that, wow, everyone I meet is going to abandon me. Everyone I meet is going to betray me. I'm going to be alone for the rest of my life, or I'm going to be in scarcity for the rest of my life. You're following what I'm saying. So the imprints can be true for all sorts of things, but just using baby animals as an example about how significant imprinting is. So a lot of times when we're in a timeline such as this, where things are speeding up, we feel like we're running out of time. We feel like we're running out of time to get to the deadline, or we feel like, oh wow, I'm probably never going to finish that in my lifetime, even if I have 50 years left on the planet, or 100, or it doesn't matter. I just feel like I'm never going to finish it. But that could be part of the doubt. That could be part of when an element occurred at one point in your life that compounded and also magnetized more of those negative elements to come in, because that was what your energy belief lined up with. So if your energy belief system lines up with, I'm never going to succeed, I'm never going to win, I'm never going to attract the right people, I'm never going to align with the right business partner or a friendship or a tribe, or I'm never going to succeed, of course, you're sending out the signal. Your subconscious mind is so powerful that it sends out a signal into the ethers in an already turbulent world, right? And we all wish for peace. We all wish for the lion and the lamb to lay together in peace and victory and virtue and harmony, right? We want that. And peace is there. Peace is in our heart. Peace is the path of Christ. Peace is the path when we go within. But oftentimes it's the deflection and the navigation and trying to combat and the counter forces when we're going into the peace within, when we're finding the peace within our heart and our mind and we hold it sacred, we do have the third world, the third dimensional realm in this world, and the wrench gets thrown in our third dimensional realm in this energetic pattern. So we can get lost easily and we have to find our path back to our center state. And so, what are the imprints that perhaps you want to clear? What are the imprints that perhaps you want to kind of shift and work on? Like, if you look at the iceberg model, and then you look at Carl Jung and the synchronicity, and you look at the subconscious mind, the shadow mind, you look at, the shadow self, you do the inner work. You're looking at what's the tip of the iceberg, what's deeper, what's below in the abyss of the self. What are the constructs, right? So it's like if you feel like, wow, I'll never win, well, then of course you're not going to win because you're thinking you're never going to win. But finding that healthy balance of like, perhaps I will be prosperous, perhaps I will win, perhaps I will, and you have to believe it. And that's the formula of prayer and manifestation, is having complete faith in God, or complete faith in yourself and God, or complete faith in what you're believing in. And it doesn't matter what religion you are, whatever creed, whatever your culture belief is, but if you strongly believe in something, if you strongly believe that you will succeed, chances are that you will succeed, even if it's not exactly that precise way. Sometimes it is precisely that way. But if it's not the first one, that means that God has something better in store for you, that all that hard work and due diligence of your prayer, your manifestation, your belief is going to line up to something even better than you originally sought out. And I'm sure many of you have encountered that or read books about it or heard about it or seen podcasts on people who, they thought it was over. They thought everything was over, and then the next thing you know, they achieve something more and beyond what they had expected. And this comes from a place of true rewiring of that faith, of that belief. And if we go into, like, we look at prayer is a desire. So if we have a desire, I wish for this to happen. Some people like if they feel like I wish that my health would get better, then what's the follow-through statements? What are the follow-through with their health? What is the follow-through with, okay, well, I'm eating better, I'm doing everything the doctor told me, I'm working on my physical, stretching my myofascial, my interstitial fluid, I'm cleaning, I'm cleansing, I'm doing everything. But then there's one maybe piece that's remaining. And is that attunement of the subconscious mind, where the subconscious mind says, well, the doctor said I have this, and now I believe that I'm never going to get better. So it's telling the self, we're not lying to the self, but we're saying positive as an instrument of, okay, Yes, you can. We can do this. And you can get better because look at all the implementations that you're doing. You're being very, very, very diligent with your eating, with your medicine, with your treatment, with your, but now we have to go into the inner life of yourself, of going deeper in prayer. And if you're praying fervently and you're like, well, I pray all the time, but as in the Bible, the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains, right? So when you have full faith in that you can achieve it without any doubt, without any doubt, and that's hard at times because we are humans and we're full of doubt because that's what's kept us alive, epigenetically, survival, because if we're in fear, we know not to run off that cliff because we're afraid that if we run off that cliff, we will reach our, perilous demise. So in many regards, fear can be healthy to a degree, but this is where when you go into prayer, when you go into manifestation, when you go into affirming what it is that you really want, that's the time to just, you have to work on letting go of the fear because fear is part of the block. Working on subconscious, those are part of the blocks. What are the subconscious negative beliefs that you're holding on to, limiting beliefs, self-limiting beliefs. And those are all part of the contrary to the formula that's going to create the pathway to make it happen. So when we have blocks, and if we feel like, oh, I'll never be good enough to write what I want to write, or I'll never be good enough because my fourth grade teacher said I'll never do it. And if you hold on to that, of course, then you're going to believe that your fourth grade teacher was correct this whole time. And lo and behold, you never know. You could have a number one selling story that touches the world. You just never know. So if you want to look at something about the deeper processes of the subconscious mind, and people say, well, how can you help? How can you help yourself? How can you clear? Well, oftentimes, the most essential thing is forgiveness of the self. If you feel that you've been harboring like a, almost like a self-defeat mentality, like, oh, I'm really mad at myself because I didn't try, or I tried too hard, or I didn't try enough, or I tried hard, but I did the wrong things. And a lot of times people beat themselves up and go into self-degradation. And they just kind of start to make things collapse all around them before they even give it a chance to start. So they avoid it, they run from it. They're so afraid of that defeat that they just don't start. And that's where procrastination comes in. Procrastination is definitely a form of self-sabotage as well. And overthinking is also part of that. So, if you're listening to the show, some of these might be familiar to you. They're certainly familiar to myself. So, overthinking, procrastination, oftentimes, and the perfectionist. So, if we look at those three markers, let's start there: perfectionism, overthinking, and then procrastination. Well, I'm not going to start until it's perfect. I'm not going to start until I'm perfect. I'm not even going to begin to turn the page until it's just right. And then when is it ever going to be right? When is it ever going to be perfect? Especially when you're just putting it on the drawing board, essentially. And so then the overthinking, should it be in this font? Should I paint in this color? Should I even, I'm just giving an example. And so then it's, that's definitely a form of self-sabotage because you're not allowing yourself to launch. And even if you are a supreme perfectionist, and when you do deliver, it is grand, it is unique, it is majestic, it is an anomaly in itself. It is like a one of the seven wonders of the world that you're creating. Let's just, be a little silly there for a moment, but that's where the mind's going. The mind is telling you, well, if it's not going to be one of the seven greatest wonders of the world, then why even bother putting it together? I'm sure many of you, artistic people as well, or builders or creators, writers, musicians, if it's that might be something that goes on in your mind, where if it's not going to be epic and world-changing or life-changing, then why bother? That's also self-sabotage because you're failing yourself before you can even give yourself a chance to succeed. And then you see someone who they're putting in their modest effort and they're really trying to not overthink it, and they're bypassing those self-limiting beliefs. They're going through their own little wave, their own construct, where they're like, you know what? Even if it's not perfect, I'm just going to get it done just to see how that feels. And this would be a good time to bring up Julia Cameron. I have mentioned her in other shows. You don't have to be an artist. You don't have to be a writer or a painter or a poet or a musician or an actor or anything to read these books, because what she composes, what she writes, is just a treasure trove of knowledge. And I find it to be helpful for many people when I recommend that book, and it's recommended to so many people. It's in There's the Artist's Way, the Vein of Gold. There's so many, but just Julia Car Cameron, The Artist's Way, and there's so many other helpful books that she's written. But those are very helpful for people as exercises, as perhaps training, exposure to little things that can help you, especially morning pages where you're writing out for 20 minutes part of your subconscious thoughts, and then suddenly you clear yourself, like in the Buddhist mind, you empty the mind, and then you can begin whatever it is that you want to begin. If it's your corporate emails, if it's your welding, if you're a doctor, if you run a daycare, if you're running an animal sanctuary, whatever it might be, anything. You don't have to be an artist, like in the classical form of painting, writing, and music and performance art. But it and if you are, it'll really help you as well too. But just in day-to-day form of looking at in that formulaic way of helping to clear the subconscious mind in a fun way that can be easy to follow. Oftentimes people find the quote unquote excuse of, well, that's too complicated for me, right? And then, or, oh, that's just too much work to learn how to do the work the right way, right? How many times have we encountered that? Very common. Oh, that's a little too much for me. Oh, okay, that sounds great. I think I can do that, but then we never do it, right? Guilty as charged. I understand 100%. And oftentimes, then we start to feel like, how can we start over again? How can we get back to that path? Because we want that miracle to happen. We want that miracle to occur for us. And if we go into forgiveness, if we go into our own, where we're kinder to ourselves and we're not as mean to ourselves, we look at the source of what is potentially our ideals, our aspirations, what we feel in the urge of our altruism, right? And so when we look within, we find that what are the forces within that you want to, recognize and release and allow you to get to that root of that source of the power, the source of that wisdom. If it's a higher power, if it's God, Jesus, if it's the universe, the cosmos. But you want to go into a place of like to be in touch with that, that omnipotence, that high ascension of this, let's say, almighty, all giving, all loving energy field that you feel safe with. And when you're feeling in touch with that feeling and you're feeling safe with that feeling, then you know that you can trust yourself to take the next process and go through it. And a lot of times people are afraid to start. Like I was saying with the perfectionist, it's like if the perfectionism is so ingrained that you're paralyzed, you're frozen, your nervous system is frozen. And you just the paralysis analysis, right? And then it's like unstuck yourself, come out of that stagnation. And a lot of times people, do, let's say, physical activity for their normal range of self-care and, physical fitness. But there can be different elements that you can do for yourself, such as shaking out the meridians. And perhaps, like when you do yoga, Tai Chi, Pilates, swimming, any kind of physical exercise shakes off that static energy. But when you have the intention of, like, I need to clear my mind and I want to clear the vortex around me, you can move your energy around. You can move that chi energy. And then you might find that when you come back to the table or come back to the, metaphorical drawing board, or if it is literally a drawing board, then you'll find that your source of power, your source of wisdom is more so aligned, that you feel more aligned with that. So if you look at what, the planets, if you look at God, if you look at the universe, the cosmos, if you look at the universal frequency that touches yourself, that you feel aligned with, then you can sit with that feeling for however long, and then just start to allow yourself to think. Get yourself out of that stagnation and just think and write whatever down. Write whatever it is down, or speak it into a recording device for yourself. Dictate it. Let it be transcribed in that way. And so, one of the other common elements of manifestation that people typically ask me about, I want to remind you all that you're all the captain of your own soul. You're all the pilot of your own soul. You're running your own plane. You're running your own ship. You're in charge, and you have a support system around you. You have the crew. You have the stewardess. You have your own element of passengers too. So, and sometimes the passengers can be not so happy, or they're very happy, and that's with emotion and the emotional range of the self, where we have good days, we have not so good days, we have very joyful days, and some days where we're feeling a little, in the, let's say, the stuck energetic frequency that it feels a little lower than usual. So if we look at how do we improvise, how do we shift out of that stagnation, and we go into the captain mode, we go into the pilot mode, we go into the I'm taking charge of my ship, I'm taking charge of my plane. Well, when you look before all systems go, essentially, right? And before that bon voyage, we are essentially looking at, besides the imprints, negative and positive, what type of imagery comes up. So, some may equate to a beautiful garden, in which is your garden full of fertile soil, beautiful soil, or is it kind of sour? Has it not been tended to for so long? Has it not been properly lit with sun, and weather conditions have been horrific? And what happened essentially? What occurred? So if you look at your own garden, your own soil, and you see, like, wow, okay, and this is not for everyone. Maybe you can use a different kind of visualization, perhaps, but if you use the garden, it's pretty universal. So I'm just using garden. So if you see your garden and you're like, oh, there's some patches over there that look a little dry, and then there's some other patches that, wow, they're getting a lot of sunlight and they're getting a lot of irrigation, and wow, they're really producing some beautiful flowers and, apple trees and almond trees and whatever else, right? And then you look at some other areas of the garden, and there's weeds, and it's like, wow, that's taking up space. So if you look at where you're placing sunlight and proper irrigation, perhaps that's part of where you have a healthy relationship with one area of your life. So you'll see people, we're all included in this, like, where perhaps we excel in some areas of our life, right? Where perhaps we have the perfect love life, the perfect relation life, tribe life with friends, family, love, right? But then money is just always a problem, right? Money is just never enough money. Or we have so much money, but we don't have true friends. We have fake friends. We don't have people that we can trust. People are just using you, or you think they're using you because you have your own imprint, right? So then you just ostracize yourself and you don't trust anyone. And then you just, right? So there's, let's just say those examples. Or you have all the money in the world, but you're not healthy and you can't fix it. Like you can afford everything, but you can't fix it. Or you have tremendous health and you have tremendous love, but you don't have enough money. So you see how those factions come together, right? Where it's like, wow, someone might seem like they have it all, but then there's always something missing. It's either one or the other, or a couple or that, but it's always in that range of like, well, we can't have one without the other. We can't have both. But I'm saying here that you can have both. You can have all three. You can have all four. You can have all 10. You can have it all. And so the part that comes up is that when you look at your garden, so maybe your love life, there's roses growing and there's, the most perfect lilies and your family life, and it's just so abundant, and your tribe, your friendship area is like so abundant. But then over there in your money corner, there's weeds and it's sour, and you just can't seem to get the right, soil tilled, and you can't seem to get the right sunlight, and you wish you could move that money section over to your, love and family that's doing so well, right? But then if you cross-contaminate it, who knows what the microbiome of that soil could be, and then it might actually contaminate, who knows, right? And I'm not a farmer, forgive me, but I'm just, what I know is what I know, and I'm just using this example, but that can happen. And so this is where we go into lack, into the state of scarcity, where, wow, I must be doing something right in one department, and I must be doing something really drastically wrong in another, because I know what it's like to have plus. And then some gardens have nothing. Some gardens are completely devoid of that nutrient-rich soil, and some gardens just need a full overhaul. And that's common also. But what happens is when you see that garden is barren, then it tells you, like, wow, well, what's the point? How can I revamp my garden? And so this is where the subconscious mind actually is so paramount with reworking your garden during Mercury retrograde, redoing, resetting, reinstituting, recalibrating, So reintroducing what is benefic. So let's just start with the most barren of all. So if we look at and you write down, why do I feel scarcity with love? Why do I feel scarcity with relationships? Why do I feel scarcity with health, with money, whatever it might be? And you look at what comes up for you when you think about, why is this happening? I'm a good person. I don't deserve this. And or it could be someone put you in a situation and you blame the person because that happened and they hurt you. The transgressions were so severe, right? So now you're in an upside down. But you're staying upside down, whether or not it's your fault or not, and that person puts you in a situation. But it's like coming out of that. So if someone affected your life in such a horrific way, exponentially, and you're still going through it, and it's hard to get your power back. This is where you really need to get into the field of yourself, like separate from that person, separate from that group of people, or whatever it might be, the entities around, going within yourself to say, you know what, no matter what that person or those entities or in a collective I've been subjected to, I'm going to take a stance. And I'm going to go inward. And even if it takes quite a bit of time, I'm going to work on myself piece by piece. But often the times the tragic element is that if one is so despondent, they don't know where to begin. So I always say, if you go into a place of what would be the greatest form of suffering that you'd love to remove from your life, and what would bring you the greatest amount of passion, joy, fulfillment, purpose. And I know that's synonymous, but that's often an expression that, okay, well, this is causing me suffering. My ex-wife, my ex-husband, my ex-spouse, my this and that, and this happened to me, and this happened to me. And then you look at what would your life be like if that didn't happen? What would your life be like if that could be put behind you? And here's where the magnetism comes in. So what we think about most, we think that our garden is literally going to be empty and barren and sour for all eternity. We're going to continue thinking that, and we're going to continue to keep that an ongoing reality. And so when you're magnetizing, you can also demagnetize. So essentially, when you're thinking positively, when you're having faith, unwavering faith, the faith of a mustard seed, you're like, wow, my garden was so barren. But I just needed to believe that one day that there would be a dandelion would sprout, and that a sunflower would come, and the seeds would come, and the right amount of rain and the right amount of sun and precipitation, humidity, whatever it might be, the right, dew point, the right weather conditions. And lo and behold, one day you see something sprouting. And then the next thing, and you just believe in it, you keep believing in it, you keep believing, like, wow, perhaps my garden is not dead after all. There is life. I'm breathing life into it. I have to create the belief and magnetize that belief and breathe life into that magnetic field of belief through God, through the universe, through the higher power that you believe, through power of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through power of your angels. However works for you. But when you believe, you set that intention and you transcend the blockages from the past. Even if everything happened to you, even if it was a tsunami, volcano, hurricane all at once, but now you're at the starting point, restarting, and that's what matters. Today is the beginning of the rest of your life. So if you magnetize the positive, you think of the positive when you can not allow any of those blocks that the subconscious can hold, and you forgive yourself, or you send yourself love and compassion at the same time, then you're like, wait, maybe I can believe that my garden can grow, sunflowers, perhaps, right? Starting there, perhaps a green patch of grass can start to grow. Perhaps I can, season after season, I can start to grow and, have a, an abundance, a cornucopia of fruit, vegetables, whatever it might be. And so when you're looking at what you're magnetizing, but this is also where, if you are in the other state of negative frequency, nothing's ever going to grow, nothing's ever going to grow, nothing's ever going to grow. Well, guess what? You're actually creating that nothing's going to grow. And nothing will grow because you are speaking that into the ethers. You're speaking that from your subconscious mind that has power also. And that's where the power of the subconscious mind is so prolific, because it can be for positive and or negative. So if you're feeling the positivity response, or if you're feeling the negativity response, the negativity will grow fervently. It will grow and it will grow and it will grow. And the positivity can also grow. It can become a contagion in its own self in a positive way, but sometimes it takes a little longer. But the negative can grow even more at an accelerated pace, because the negative energy is on a lower frequency. That dense energy, it loves to just fill up the space. And then the more that's compounded, the more that grows with that negative dense space, there's no room for breathing, and so it just continues to consume and consume and consume, just like how the dark can just fill up and shadow every single element, right? But the same thing with light can happen, but it's in a different pace of acceleration. So if you're thinking, you know what, my garden will improve, my garden will be rich and nutrient rich and everything right, and I just believe, instead of I can't water my garden, you can say, my garden will be prosperous, even if maybe factually you know you don't have the water to water your garden. But if you say, I can't water my garden, I don't have enough water, that energy field likes to stay stuck there. But if you say, my garden will be prosperous, you're not lying to yourself, you're just affirming that. And somehow, you never know, the rain will fall and God's rain will come down, and in time, in some patience. But then after that first element starts to rain down, the belief of exponential reprieve, of more of the abundance starts to come in and fill up the entire expansion of that. And then it starts to grow and grow and grow in more benefic ways. And then you get the sunshine and the rainbows and the precise amount of sunlight that you need for everything that you're putting together. So during this retrograde and during this eclipse energy time, it's very emotional for many people. This is a very difficult one. And that's why I decided today to just kind of try to remind everyone in a certain way, in a cohesive style of uplifting. If you're feeling like your garden is empty and barren, especially right now, that to try not to stay in that frequency that it's empty. If you can just picture and imagine and utilize the imagery and place that in your mind's eye of a single rose, a single dandelion, a single apple tree, an orchard, just picture that. You never know what your mind can actually transcend. And if you allow your subconscious mind to channel through and break through and create the roots of what is benefic, then you can see the branches growing with abundance, the prosperity of your mind, meaning the prosperity of your heart frequency, the prosperity of your love frequency, prosperity of your self-worth frequency, the prosperity of your self-love frequency, and that heart, mind, spirit coherence where your heart is the third mind. The heart, mind, stomach. Stomach is the second brain. Heart is the third brain. But if you allow that compassion and that heart coherence in your inner spirit to let that indwelling energy that you do have the divine kingdom within you, all of you. And there's a treasure within each and every one of you that if you reach in enough to really grasp it and to study it, to sit with it and sit with it with love, with contemplation, with your own evolution. That's congruent with the consistent evolution that is going on around us as we speak, then you're doing whatever you can to make that self prosperity, to make that self magnetism grow, and to transcend the self-limiting belief, to transcend the self-sabotage, to transcend the procrastination, to transcend the overall impossible perfectionist mode that's within many of you, myself included, to transcend the overthinking, to transcend all of those limiting self-beliefs that ruminate within us all at times of our life, and especially right now, where so much is being considered. So much is being reflected on during the mirror of the galaxy of, sacred introspection. And so we essentially want to just take with us the peace of God, the peace of the cosmos, the peace of the divine, the peace and the magic of divinity, that we are all divine and we're all co-creators. We're also all, regulators and co-regulators to ourselves and to one another, and we can help to lift each other up, lift ourselves up in this tapestry of the constellations of, this the sun, the moon, the stars, the universe in itself, and all the multi-universes and the planets and God's creation. Then we are reminding ourselves that we're not just here living in this human experience. We're also here living in a spiritual experience, as as Jesus is said to be in this world, but not of it. And so we are here in this world, and oftentimes we might not feel like we're of this world. And I think that my next show will discuss more of that as well. So I just want to leave all that with you today, that continue to believe in yourself, try to utilize some of this that might pertain to you, even if one snippet of this relates to you and utilize it, then so be it. And so I wish all of you a most beautiful and sacred time in the next 2 weeks, and going through all the shifts and the changes that are benefic and also the challenging at the same time. You are not alone. Just go within with self-love and the reverence of your highest self and the reverence of the divinity that lives perpetually within each and every one of you. And so I am your host, Ray Trujillo. This has been the Beyond Earth Show. Thank you again, as always, for participating and listening. And I'll be back in 2 weeks' time. And may God bless each and every one of you. Thank you. Bye.